This week's live show, The Internet Without Fear, Dublin City FM 103.2. And I'm your host for today, Peter Lewis. Our guest this week is Liam Donnelly of Sandra Cooney's Home Care. The show is sponsored by ICS Skills, who bring you equal skills in a fun and exciting way for complete beginners to learn all about using computers and the internet. The question for today is, can elderly people also use the internet and computers? What are they looking for? They want to enjoy life and use the stuff we have available for pleasure, entertainment, and learning new things. What is more important? Could the internet help make their life much easier? And how can we help make them use it effectively? The show is about you, and we'd like your participation. So if you have any questions or you want to speak to Liam, call us live on 01-865-8020. A National Kaiser Family Foundation survey of older Americans found that the internet becoming an increasingly important resource for informing decisions about health and healthcare options. Excuse me. Less than a third, 31% of seniors aged 65 and older, have ever gone online. However, more than two-thirds of the next generation, that is 50 to 64-year-olds, also have done so. The difference between the older people and the pre-retirement is striking, and so as online resources for health information may soon play a much larger role amongst many people today. 21% of people have gone online to look for health information, compared to 53% of the 50 to 64-year-olds. Now, the survey is nationally representative, and it was a survey done of 1,450 adults aged 50 and older. And this, while it might be American, we can see a lot of the similar things happening in Ireland today. So, please do join our discussion. Call us live on 01-865-8020. Now, I just must apologise to our listeners because we have two people here, both with coughs and choky throats, so we will do our best to survive the next 25 minutes. So, any questions you want to call us, please do. Liam, welcome to the show. Tell us about Sandra Cooney Home Care. What is it and why did you guys start it up?
Sandra started the company up in 2006-2007. Sandra worked in the community herself as a carer. She cared for elderly people in their own homes, and she could see that there was a huge demand for this service, which the resources weren't available in the areas of North Bay Dublin. So Sandra and myself decided to set up Sandra Cooney's Home Care. We look after 100 clients now around the north side of Dublin, ranging from personal hygiene.
So tell me, for example, I mean, you've 100 different clients. So what are they looking for? I mean, are there age groups or anything in common with these people?
Yes, they all want to remain in their own homes rather than go to a nursing home. That is the main objective. The services they get obviously are a lot better in their own home than a nursing home.
Okay.
Because it's one-on-one, the carer becomes the carer establishes a relationship with the client, and they become good friends.
Okay.
It's one-on-one, as I said, so the client is getting 100% all the time, but you know, in a nursing home it could be 20-1.
Okay, so, I mean, at the moment, we obviously the HSE and our whole health system's in the headlines on and off. Are they, I mean, there's people, for example, who have been sick, they're getting better, they might then go to a nursing home, they might stay in a hospital bed, or you're saying, if they go home, somebody can look after them. I mean, are your people qualified? What's the criteria?
All our carers are qualified up to a FeeTech level 5.
Okay.
Which is a world recognised qualification. They do their training in Dublin. The training consists of a personal hygiene again for the clients. That would be helping them out of bed, getting them into the shower, wash, getting them dressed, changing their beds. Maybe some are unable to go to their beds, so they're trained in how to change the beds while they're still in the bed. Communication is very important.
Okay.
for a lot of elderly people. You'd be surprised how many actually don't have family at all, or family that will visit them. So the only people they ever meet is actually their carer. It's the only way they get any information about what's going on in the outside world. It means so much for them to know that they have someone visit them every day, maybe 3 times a day, 4 times a day, whatever the needs are for each individual client will be different. We provide a live-in care service where the carer actually moves in and lives with her. It really just depends on how, on the dependency of the clients.
So it's about respect. It's about maintaining your dignity,
yes.
Being able to live in your own home, and actually have somebody who you can trust coming in to help you with what, to, let's say, you and I, who are still, thank God, able-bodied, can do for ourselves. We take for granted. People often on their own find it difficult, you know, getting out of bed, washing themselves, doing these things. So somebody who can actually be there as a friend, working with them, is very important.
Yeah, it's hugely important.
And today, with, I mean, do the HSE, or do people just automatically send it? Does everyone know that these home care type of services are available?
No, unfortunately not. It's a fairly new industry in Ireland. It may be only in Ireland 3-4 years. But there is funding available from the HSE.
Okay.
It's very hard to get at the moment, because in the current climate we're in.
Yeah.
But it is still there. Families just need to contact the public health nurse, social workers. And they get all the information there, or you can call our office. We'll be happy to give them any information you need.
I suppose now, this is one of this is about the internet without fear. So you decided that it's probably important to go online as well. I mean, where did you see the advantage of that? I mean, your website is
schomecare.ie.
So SC for Sandra Cooney, schomecare.ie. Okay, so what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
So tell me the rationale behind having a website. I mean, how many, going back to this, do you expect old age pensioners to go looking for you, or who would be looking for you?
It would be mainly their kids, their children or relations or whatever. But first place they would go would be the internet to look for some information about home care, whether it's through the HSE website or the Citizens Information Bureau, or our own website, which has a wealth of information. We can guide them through the whole process of how to apply for funding, home care tips, and a very interesting website to see. But it would be mainly at the moment, it would be the kids rather than the clients themselves.
We're talking kids, we're talking 40, 50 year
old
kids.
We're talking 60, 70 year old kids.
Okay.
You know, our clients would be anything, you know, 80, 90, 100. So,
okay.
Yeah, when I say the kids, I mean the children.
I mean, in terms of, I mean, what I think is quite innovative is you guys have a blog. I mean, tell me what you put in your blog. What sort of information is up there?
Home care tips, mainly.
Okay.
Just to write about the health industry in general, for, you know, what services are available for older people. Try and get as much information as we can out there to help people.
Okay. So, I mean, is this sort of... you know, what you should be doing at home, whether or not you, I mean, safety tips, how to look after an elderly relative, these type of things.
Yeah, a lot of common sense, but stuff that we regard as common sense that, you know, someone else might find, you know, hugely helpful for them. But, you know, we take it for common granted that people know all this stuff, home care tips, safety, and, you know, so on, and nutrition, dietaries, where they can find, you know, suppliers for, you know, if they're incontinent and, you know, supplies for baths and so on.
Okay, so, I mean, again, there's a lot of things we mightn't be aware of. And I suppose if one of our parents was, heaven forbid, to become ill or needs to be kept to bed, we'd like to know how to help them first, and then when the going gets too tough, the demands in our time get too much, you can call someone like yourselves.
Yeah.
What's the process? Let's say I'm on your website and I say, yes, I'm interested in these guys. What would I then do?
You could either contact us by email or telephone. Our staff in the office would be happy to answer any questions and guide you in the right direction.
Okay.
But it's a very simple process to go through. A lot of people find it very daunting dealing with the HSE, dealing with public health notices. It can be pretty difficult, as I said, in the current situation to get anything funding from them. But it is still available. But there is just a couple of simple steps that you need to follow. It can be as simple as 1, 2, 3.
So what would be the steps typically? I mean, so I'm there, I've rung Sandra Cooney Home Care, what happens next?
Okay, Sandra herself will go out and visit the client,
okay,
which is the mother or father, whoever actually needs the care, and her children. And she would assess the situation, see what type of care package she needs to put together, what the family's budget is. Once the care package is put together, then we try and introduce a couple of different carers. We try and find out the first meet what type of personality would suit this individual client, whether it's somebody they want really quiet, or somebody they might want to have a bit more of a sense of humour. So we try and try and suss all that out when Sandra does on our first meeting.
Because it's a relationship, really.
It's a relationship. It's as I said, they become very close. They become really good friends to the client and her family. They get to know the neighbours. So it is very personal.
Okay. So it's about getting to know, creating relationship and all of that. And as you're saying, you've used the website to have a lot of this information available. Now, one of the things which we talked about earlier on is funding from the HSE. What sort of funding is available and how would you go about getting it, as opposed to ring Sandra Cooney now? What sort of stuff would you need to do?
Well, if the mother and father was in hospital and they wanted to be sent home rather than be sent to a nursing home, but a social worker will assess the client in the hospital to see, is she suitable to be sent home if a care package can be put together that she can be cared for at home. So the social worker would then contact the public health nurse.
Okay.
The public health nurse would call around to the house or call to the hospital. They would assess the client and they'd put a package together. Whether it was, the packages are based on hours. So, a really good package that they give it might be 20 hours, 30 hours.
And per week.
Per week. And the minimum of 3.5 hours a week would be the smallest package that they put together, which would be a half hour call once a day, which doesn't sound a hell of a lot, but it can make all the difference of someone being able to go home or stay in a hospital bed.
But you see, there must be some serious cost implications there, because what you're saying is, for a small amount of money, somebody can stay in their own home, have somebody coming in looking after them, as opposed to remaining in a hospital bed, which must cost a fortune.
Absolutely. It really is madness how, the amount of people that can be brought home, can be looked after in their own home, but are taking up hundreds of beds. And hospitals I'm not sure the exact figure, but it must be a huge cost to the HSE. But they could, very easily assessed by the public health nurse, sent home. There's packages that can be put together very, very easily, started immediately. There's no delays or no, waiting around. And really it's just for someone out of the HSE to, to stand up for themselves and say, listen, this is ridiculous. Why are all these people taking up all these beds when they could be at home for a simple package of 3.5, 7 hours a week?
Okay, so what we have here is, so we've gone part the way to educating people out there what's available by having your internet site, by going into the appropriate directories. How else do we, I mean, would all of the public health nurses know about these types of services, what's available? How could they recommend you?
No, unfortunately all the public health nurses don't know about the service. A lot of them do. I just think a lot of the public health nurses just need a small bit of re-education on what services are available out there. If there is no funding available, the family should be notified that they can fund it privately. Because a lot of families are under the illusion that if the HSE can't put a care package together for them, nobody else can. There is, you know, they're not informed that there's private companies out there that can do it for them. There's great tax relief of 41% on anything they pay for care. So it's really worth actively at the moment trying to re-educate some of the public health nurses and to, you know, to pass this information on to the families. Because a lot of the time families go looking for it themselves, find us, told us they were informed by the public health nurses that these services weren't available.
Okay. So there's the multiple levels of education. I mean, you also mentioned, I think, the social work earlier on. So what, I mean, where do they get involved in the process? And again, what education could we help them with?
Well, the social workers would only get involved if the client was in hospital.
Okay.
If the client was at home already and wanted to stay at home rather than go get too sick and go into hospital forced and then get re-release home. A lot of clients would get us or a public health nurse in before they actually get too sick. So a family just needs to go contact the public health nurse in the local health office, tell them that the mother is, you know, needs some level of care. A lot of the families can, you know, try and contribute towards the care themselves as much as possible. The public health nurse would call around, they would assess the client, assess the family on a means test, just, you know, to see what type of funding it would be available, because it's means tested, so the more the family have, the less they will get.
Okay, so it's a fair enough system. Absolutely.
And then if the families, if they're not happy with, you know, what the care package that the public health nurse is doing, they can add to it themselves, which most of them do. So if the HSE say, okay, we think 14 hours a week is enough care for you to stay at home, or 21 hours a week, the family might disagree and say, okay, we think my mother needs 40, so they can fund the rest themselves, the other 19 hours. And they can claim 41% tax relief on that, so it's quite affordable.
Okay, so, I mean, what might be interesting, I mean, how many sort of clients would you cater for at any one time? I think you mentioned a figure of 100.
We have about 100 clients.
So, do you, in your experience, do many of them as a result, or it's not, obviously not as a result, but do many of them go back to hospital, or do you find an awful lot of their peers who don't have home care would end up in hospital? So you're actually keeping them out of the hospitals?
A lot of them would, you know, never return to hospital, to be honest. Because we get involved personally with the client, our carers are trained to pick up on anything at all, whether it's a sore on the leg or maybe if there was a sign of a bed sore starting or anything at all if they weren't feeling well. We ourselves contact the public health nurses on their behalf. We check to make sure the public health nurses turned up and done their job properly. And most of the time that's enough to keep them out of hospital. The public health nurse can do, you know, the same as the nurses would do in the hospital anyway. But if they need to be admitted to the hospital, the public health nurse will just call an ambulance and, you know, to the hospital they will go.
So for all of your 100 clients, would you know who the social worker and the public health nurse was?
We do, yeah.
Okay, so they'd be aware of you, so that's,
they would be,
but that's just a small proportion. I mean, what could be quite interesting, I'm sure any of your journalists out there might actually want to do the maths and say, how much is actually being saved by the HSE allowing people to be cared for in their own home. Somebody out there might start doing that research. It could be quite interesting to look at.
Yes.
Going back to the internet, I mean, when did you start using that, and how are you finding it's worked for you?
We started using the internet at the very start of the company, to be honest. It was a good way for us to actually let people know that we are actually out there. It was a good place for us to put up information cheaply, without having to go to the trouble of getting anything printed up on paper and so on. It was all available on the internet. So really, basically from the start, we've been using the internet.
And do you get much business from the internet? I mean, are you finding some business comes from it? Is it payback for you?
Yeah, definitely. It's the only form of advertising we use. We don't advertise anywhere else, just the internet. So it's our only source of work, is completely the internet, 100%.
Okay, so I mean, from an online marketing perspective, that's certainly something worth it. Yeah. But you still need to do offline activities.
We do. We stay in close contact with HSE. We're HSE, partly funded by HSE. We stay in contact with the local parish priests.
What about doctors? I mean, would doctors be a place where people go to?
Yes, of course. We go around that same thing. We try and educate doctors into, the process of, receiving a home care practice, so they could, inform families or their patients exactly what they need to do. Surprisingly enough, a lot of doctors don't know, what the procedures are.
Yeah.
So it's really just about educating people, really.
I mean, there was a lot of talk and obviously a lot of money went into this whole nursing home area during the Celtic Tiger because of tax breaks. So therefore people are more aware of, yes, you put some, but there's an issue with that. I mean, why do people not like going to nursing homes?
Because a lot of clients would, would be suffering with nothing more than physical problems, not any mental problems. If you go into a nursing home, a lot of clients, like our own clients, suffer with dementia and Alzheimer's. They tend just to be, put on tranquilizers to keep them fairly muted. They could be 20 clients in a nursing home, getting looked after by one or two staff. So
I mean, the bottom line is, we've lived our life, we've got to this age.
They don't want to be dumped into a day room, their head nodding up and down all day. They just don't want that. They want their own independence. They still have a lot of self-respect for themselves. They're so well educated, and people underestimate old people so much. They've lived long lives. They've had more experience than anyone else. It's great to sit down and talk to them. Sometimes, a lot of the time, they educate us more than we can educate them.
It seems to be this funny mentality when you're over a certain age, you're past it. And yet, I mean, if we look at some of the key figures, especially in Ireland, we all know about Pope Benedict. I mean, he's 84, 85. In many cases, he's been resigned to a nursing home. You sit there and be quiet. What we're actually giving, or you're giving, is people an ability to still live their lives, because maybe they can't move as quickly as before. Maybe they can't reach down to tie their shoelaces.
The brains are still absolutely perfectly, alert. They do get underestimated, a hell of a lot of old people.
Your partner Sandra, who came up with a lot of this, I mean, she had some experience, which actually...
That's how the whole business started, because Sandra works, still does. Sandra still works as a carer. She still works in the community. She still has her own clients. She does it for a love of the job. So I think it's because the way we do so well and why we're so well respected by the HSC is because our feet are firmly on the ground. We're not just for the money. As I said, Santa still loves our own clients, and we completely lost without her. That is really, basically, it's very simple.
One of the interesting things, I mean, I had a look at your website, and you've got a lot of testimonials, which is people who are able to say, you know, thank you so much, guys, you really looked after us, or you looked after my mum really well. In terms of your workers and the people, do you just hire these guys in, or are these full-time staff? What's the difference between you and an agency?
The difference between us and an agency is we're a company that employs people directly. We paid our employer's PRSI, we paid our holiday money, we pay all their entitlements. An agency would have them down as self-employed. They wouldn't be entitled to, they'd have no entitlements, they'd have no holiday pay, they'd be liable to pay their own taxes. They cannot get Garda clearance, which is very important.
What does Garda clearance mean?
It means that they have no criminal record.
Okay.
They're a good character.
And that's quite tough to get, isn't it?
It's very hard to get. Yeah, you can only get Garda clearance now if you're a member of the Irish Private Home Care Association, which we are. And to become a member of the Irish Private Home Care Association, you need to fit the criteria of employing your carers directly, paying the holidays, have a tax clearance cert, and which agencies cannot get. So anyone that works really for an agency, unless they've worked for another company previously before and have had Garda clearance, they just won't have Garda clearance.
Okay.
And the staff, after working for an agency for a number of weeks or months, when they do eventually suss that they're not getting holiday pay, they're going to be given a fairly substantial tax bill at the end. That's why they have such a high turnover of staff, which is not good for the clients.
Because the clients want continuity.
They want continuity. And they build up a relationship with the carer, they trust them to come into their homes, they trust them to do their personal hygiene, to help them in and out of bed, and they want to keep the same person. They don't want to hide someone with staff, so that's the difference.
So I suppose, I mean, in summary, when we talk about schomecare.ie, the care at home is what you guys really focused on.
Yes.
Caring after people.
Caring for people in their homes.
Giving them respect. So, yeah. Liam, thank you very much. So that was Liam Donnelly of Sandra Cooney Home Care. That's schomecare.ie if you're looking on the website to contact them. excuse me. The Internet Without Fear is brought to you by ICS Skills with their program Equal Skills, where you can learn all about the Internet in a fun and exciting way, even if you're a complete beginner. Next week, I'm going to be joined by Patrick Munden of eBay, and of course, you can join in live. So until next Wednesday at 1:30, thanks for listening. This is Peter Lawless, and have a great week. Thank you.